go ahead and call the Senate Finance Committee back to order. Recess is over. Before the committee tonight, we've got the operating budget and a good portion of the proposed capital expenditures. So we want to, tonight we want to get it on the table so all committee members and aides and the public has time to start looking through it as we work on it the next couple of days. Senator Von Imhoff.
Thank you. I move that the Senate Finance Committee adopt the Senate CS for the CS for House Bill number 205, Finance Version O, as our working document.
I'll object for explanation, Mr. Eklund. And then for those at home, Mr. Eklund is our lead operating budget coordinator for the Senate. He is going to take this opportunity to highlight several of the changes, about a page and a half, and then we'll be done. We'll probably be done here in 5 minutes. Mr. Eklund.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, Pete Eklund's staff to Senator Stebbins and the Finance Committee. Mr. Chairman, I'd like to call your attention to there's a stapled copy of reports in front of you. They're also going to be online, and as soon as this committee meeting's over, Ledge Finance will post these reports and many others online so the public and the legislature can go through and sift through all the reports in fine detail of the bill in front of you, the draft in front of you. Before I get to the little page and a half thing you were talking about, Mr. Chairman, I'll just say in general, the last official action the committee took was adopting what we call CS0 earlier this week or last week, Mr. Chairman, and that was just the governor's introduced version of the operating budget rearranged in the style of legal and legislative finance. And so what I'm going to describe, Mr. Chairman, is I'm going to go over some of the changes in a high level from that document, so basically from the governor's introduced budget. If you look at this, the suite of reports, D1 in front of you, the very first page, if you go to column, I guess it's column 3-1, the government, 21 government to Senate Finance, you'll see that in agency operations, unrestricted general funds were roughly $43 million above the governor's amended budget. And when you include statewide items like debt service and fund caps and retirement, were roughly $59 million UGF above the gov. Then at a high level, Mr. Chairman, a couple pages in after that on the reports, it's labeled F. There are capital budget items, as you mentioned, Mr. Chairman, roughly half of the capital budget that was proposed by the governor is contained in this CS. And at a high level, Mr. Chairman, there's the federal highway aid match is in here for the federal highway program. And we can talk about in more detail tomorrow other capital items that are in here, Mr. Chairman. But I'll go through on you can see on report F, let's see, we have GovAmend at $140 million, unrestricted general funds. This bill is more than half, it's $89 million, roughly, of UGF. And
I'd like to stop there for those watching and listening at home. There isn't any intent to delete the other half of the capital budget for FY21. We are in a very constrained time frame, trying to wrap up our budgetary process and get out of here dealing with the virus issue. We intend to come back later in the summer, into the fall, whenever it's safe to come back and things settle down, to deal with the other portion of the budget. Capital budget, along with any other financial necessities that the Finance Committee may have to deal with due to the economic circumstances we're faced with here today.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I guess I would add, in addition to that, before I talk about some of the language section changes, as you are aware, normally we have what we call a subcommittee closeout process. And Mr. Chairman, that was shortened in response to trying to speed up our process as much as possible because of this COVID virus. And so normally the public would have those subcommittee closeout reports, which we will not have right now. But after we adopt this bill on Legislative Finance's website, you can see comparisons between the House and the bill in front of you. So you can see the differences, what the subcommittees did in the number sections in more detail, much greater detail for all the agencies, Mr. Chairman. And so just going to walk through some of the highlights of the changes of the language section. Actually, that's the same for for the permanent fund. This committee CS deposits a full POMV draw of $3.1 million into the general fund. The original bill had had split that up with $2 billion going directly to the dividend fund the other billion or so going to the general fund. This CS puts committee substitute puts the whole POMV draw into the general fund. There is no inflation proofing transfer in this CS from the earnings reserve of the permanent fund into the corpus. As you see, Mr. Chairman, in the committee room, there's a check over on the side of the room. The legislature deposited $4 billion into the corpus of the permanent fund this fiscal year to satisfy inflation proofing for four fiscal years. Under the Department of Commerce, Community and Economic Development, we amended the PCE earning. We amended the appropriation that went to PCE based on new estimates of what the PCE costs are going to be. We removed $2.8 million appropriation of the balance of the Capstone Avionics Fund, and we are then proposing to use that Capstone Avionics Fund of $2.8 million and deposit that into the Alaska Marine Highway System Fund. In the Department of Health and Social Services, we removed a $9.3 million appropriation to the Alaska Psychiatric Institute, removed it from the language section of the bill to the number section of the bill, so it still appears in the bill, Mr. Chairman, but we just moved it from one section to another section of the bill. We added open-ended federal receipt authority for Medicaid. We know that the federal government Congress is reacting to the COVID virus, and so we've put in open-ended federal receipt authority for Medicaid in response to that. Similarly, in the Department of Labor and Workforce Development, we've added open-ended receipt authority for unemployment insurance and workforce services. As the federal government responds in that area, we would be able to accept those federal receipts. In DNR, we changed the reclamation bond interest appropriation to a single-year appropriation, and we moved $5 million from the language section to the capital number section relating to fire risk reduction. So we just changed how the appropriation is structured in the bill. Department of Military and Veterans Affairs, we added an appropriation for special license plate fees to fund maintenance of veterans' memorials. In debt, we removed the authority to issue revenue anticipation notes. We added $2.4 million of unrestricted general funds in municipal debt reimbursement to associated projects. We increased the school bond debt reimbursement program that was proposed to 100% of what the formula would require. So the new totals are just over $101 million. We removed $55 million in debt service for oil and gas tax credit bonds. In federal and other program receipts, we clarified the language allowing the Legislative Budget and Audit Committee to approve RPLs, revised program legislative for federal and other program receipts. Under fund capitalizations, we adjusted the appropriation from PCE fund earnings to the PCE program community assistance program of $30 million. So there was enough in the PCE fund to both pay all the PCE costs and also fund $30 million capitalization to the community assistance fund. We added an appropriation of $100,000 of DMV receipts to abandoned motor vehicle fund. And we also increased the REA fund contribution to 100% along with that matches the same increase to 100% of the school bond debt reimbursement. And that new total is $36.7 million of unrestricted general funds. And fund transfers, We removed a fund transfer of the passenger gambling tax to the capital income fund. We corrected a fishing game revenue bond redemption fund balance. We corrected where it appeared in the bill. In salary and benefit adjustments, we added Avteca and the university firefighters contract that was approved, or that was submitted for approval. And lastly, Mr. Chairman, in the constitutional budget reserve sections, we added short-term borrowing language. That's normal day-to-day cash flow borrowing that gets repaid to the CBR as cash flow is needed during the fiscal year. And we added deficit filling language if the FY21 general fund revenue is insufficient to pay for the appropriations made in this bill, in the bill in front of you. The CBR deficit filling language just covers all the appropriations in the bill in front of you.
Thank you, Mr. Eklund. Do you have any brief questions before we adjourn tonight? Senator Wilkowski.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. What's the dividend, permanent fund dividend?
The dividend is not in this bill as yet. Committee will address that in a later date, like within the next couple of days, because we're trying to get done. So we got to work it out. Okay, seeing no other questions, we'll go ahead and set this bill aside for a second. Brief at ease. Back on the record, yeah. I'll go ahead and remove my objection for the adoption of version O as our working document. Do we have further objection to the adoption of version O as our working document? Seeing none, version O will be our working document. This bill will be posted on basis under House Bill 205. It's House Bill 205 on basis for those that want to pull it up. So we'll go ahead and set this bill aside. Further review, bring it back hopefully tomorrow. But tomorrow morning, 9 a.m., Senator Von Imhoff is going to chair overview of responses to the virus issue facing this state and some of the issues in and around that. Senator Von Imhoff, you want to kind of give the public a brief heads up of what you plan on doing?
Yes, so at 9 a.m., we're going to be looking at the economic aspect of the consequences of the COVID virus, having businesses shutter, having people unemployed and not being able to pay their bills. So we've got Small Business Administration, we have Alaska Housing Finance Authority, we have some commercial banks all chiming in. We even have Mattson to talk to us about the supply chain. So we have about 20 minutes each of several different subjects to kind of give us invited testimony on what's happening in each particular industry within the economic aspect of the effect of this virus.
And we've had some amendments brought to us today from the administration, so we'll review those also. They concern the state's response to the virus issue. So we're going to have a busy the next several days, but we're going to try to push through, including Sunday, just to give everybody a heads up. So it's a race to the finish, try to get our work wrapped up. So have a good evening this evening and a good dinner. We'll see you at 9 a.m. tomorrow morning. Meeting adjourned.